Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at HearstRanch.com.
Yes, this is Burning Down the House. Yeah, you're thinking, what the hell's going on? This is not the usual introduction music. Well, it's very appropriate. This is Curtis B. Wayne. This is episode 104 of Burning Down the House on heritageradionetwork.org. Today we're going to talk about the mathematical symbol, phi. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with architecture? Well, actually, it has everything to do with, in no particular order, the golden section. Hold on 1 second, Jack. Or is Jack there?
I'm here.
Jack, thank you for dropping in from Bonnaroo. I was just about to launch into my little lecture about pentatonic scale, the relationship between music and ideal proportion in architecture. How's it doing down there? Jack Inslee is our executive producer and engineer par excellence, and he's at Bonnaroo in Tennessee. Is that right?
That's right, Manchester, Tennessee.
Well, how's it going, man?
It's great. You know, 80,000 people here, Curtis. It's a four-day music festival, and They say it's the sixth largest city in Tennessee, just this collection of people here at the festival. So, pretty massive in size here.
Are you having fun?
Tons of fun, yeah. We've been getting interviews with all the food participants. They're really trying to up their food game at Bonnaroo, trying to merge food and music even further. So, they've made a lot of good progress there. Funny that you're doing the show today about the relationship between the scales and music and architecture. Jam bands love their pentatonic scales.
Everything is convergent always, Jack. I heard that you're avoiding Fish because you don't like their music.
Yeah, I can do without Fish. That's just me, though.
Well, are there any dead tribute bands down there?
I think that would be Fish. Aren't they more or less a dead tribute band? You know, the way they set it up here at Bonnaroo is the last day of the festival, they save all the jam bands for then, because they know the people who come out for the jam bands are in it for the bitter end. But, you know, the rest of us trying to get back to work on Monday, we could do without the day of jam bands.
Yeah, well, I heard a rumor that you're planning on driving through the night, you know, something like 12,000 miles from there to here.
About 900 miles.
900? That's
950, something like that.
That's a long haul, man.
Yes.
I hope you have, you know, a replacement driver someplace after about 500.
Oh, indeed.
Okay, good. Good, because we want you back safe and sound and full of excellent recorded sounds from the festival at Bonnaroo. And if you've got anything that's, you know, I don't know, minor mode, D minor, A minor, pentatonic, Dorian mode. You know, I'll just eat the shit out of that. Because that's the way I roll.
Well, I'll save the atonal 12-tone scale stuff for another show then.
Yeah, the Schoenberg Admiration Society can wait a while.
Right.
Be well coming back, man.
All right, Curtis. Have a great show.
And thank you for calling in.
Of course.
That was... All right, Jack. Over and out. That was Jack Inslee, our executive producer. Where was I? You know, everything converges all at once, and in architecture and all of the arts, one of the themes that is very much in mind right now is the concept of biophilia. And that has roots back in the time of, where are my notes? Okay, back in the time of Leon Battista Alberti. Those of you who went to architecture school should know about who this dude was. Those of you who are civilians, shall we say, let me tell you a little about Alberti. He died in 1472, pre-Columbian, you know, before Columbus, before the New World. Really about the epitome of the Renaissance before the New World was discovered, which just, you know, blew the hinges off of every door and every window and just changed the whole nature of Western European culture. Alberti was an architect and a poet and a linguist and a philosopher. And well, I'll talk a little bit more about him later, but it, to my mind, if we're talking about architectural theory, which is something I want to talk about today, those of you who were happy to go to a Steiner school or a Waldorf school, for those of you few here in the listenership, this will not be new news, but there is a very clearly understood relationship between mathematics and music and architectural proportion. And Alberti, Leon Battista Alberti, who died in 1472, born in 1404, so he didn't live all that long, but he did a lot, and he designed a few iconographic buildings, especially Santa Maria Novella in Florence. Santa Maria Novella, which was analyzed by Corbusier. And we'll get into why he was so important, aside from his writings, in which he said that all good art comes from nature, not to representationally replicate nature, but to learn from nature. Joe, let's have the next very brief track. Okay, so you might be saying, all right, that sounds like a rock hornpipe, if you've any sort of musical education. But the intervals between the notes have everything to do with mathematics of nature. I'm not just going to blurt this out. I want to develop it. In the 1200s, work that the Arabs and the Hindus had done reached Western Europe. There was this question that a Hindu philosopher had posed, around 1000 of the Christian era. If you have two bunnies and they mate and they produce one offspring, and then the offspring and then the original mother mate again, then what happens? And there was this notion that there was a natural progression of scale of generation. And an Italian mathematician, Leonardo of Pisa, who's known by his nickname Fibonacci, derived a mathematical series. And the numbers in the sequence of the series go something like this: 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 35, 55, 89, 144, and so forth. And there are two variables here. Variable 1 is 0, and variable 2 is 1. So, 0 plus 1. First combination of variables equals 1. Next sequence is 1 plus 1 equals 2. The next in the sequence of 2 plus 1, the previous number in the sequence, is 3. 3 plus 2, the previous number in the sequence, is 5. Now, what interests me, and so forth, 3 plus 5 is 8, 8 plus 5 is 13, 13 plus 8 is 21, 21 plus 13 is 34, but at the very beginning, at the root of that, 1, 2, 3, and 5 is interesting in a couple of different ways. One, those are attributes of 5. 5 is not a perfect number. 5 is composed of 2 plus 3. You can't divide 2 by anything other than itself, and it becomes just 2, and 3 is also prime. One, two, three, five, and six happen to be the commonly accepted note intervals of something called in music the pentatonic scale. Five, penta. Tonic tones. It is supposed that some lyres, you know, the lyra, you know, the lyre, the ancient stringed instrument that King David played, may have only had 5 strings, and they would have been tuned pentatonically. Now, I'm mostly interested in the sequence of tonic, second, third, and fifths. Now, in normal music, we've got 8 full tones. There are some half steps in that, but Western music agrees that there are 8 diatonic steps, with 12, including half steps. That makes a tempered scale. In diatonic scales, and why is this important? Well, anybody of you who is listening who likes blues, certain kinds of rock, or old-timey folk music is listening to diatonic riffs. Very cool. In other words, if we roll it back to architecture and Fibonacci, there is such a thing that we all should have known from being in architecture school, those of you, my brothers and sisters, who went to architecture school, and those of you who have not been to architecture school, this may be new news, but it is believed by the ancients, starting with the Greeks, that a rectangle, if you could take any sort of structure, any sort of orthogonal structure, let's say orthogonal means it has 90 degree angles between the horizontal and the vertical. Let's say the Parthenon, and you draw out what the front, architects would say the front elevation, but if you draw out what the front looks like and you draw a rectangle around the whole of that elevation, you would find that it is composed of rectangles with a relationship of 3 to 5 or 5 to 8. Now you might say, where does that get back to the original thing that I said about the mathematical notion of the symbol phi? Well, phi has been defined as the relationship of the smaller to the greater, or about 0.618 to 1. Or the inverse of phi is 1.618. It's very interesting when you play with mathematics. The inverse number is not usually so perfectly the same sequence of digits. That's phi, capital phi, or lowercase phi lowercase phi is the 1.618 relationship. Anyway, if you apply that to analyzing architecture, you find that these architectural works are considered to be the most perfect. And the music that is pentatonic is also considered to be really most pleasing. Let's have another musical break.
Think you could tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell.
Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, totally pentatonic. Did you like that? Did that activate your architecture brain? When you look at something that is classical, do you feel that kind of proportion? Well, if not, I'm giving you something to think about next time you look at something that is proportionally pleasing. Let's get back to Fibonacci. The Fibonacci series has been analyzed and used. 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and so forth. It has also been observed if you plot these increasing increments in a spiraling configuration. If you take a Cartesian coordinate system, x and y, x being horizontal and y being vertical, start out with 1, put 2 on the next vertical axis, put 3 on the next horizontal axis, or negative 3, you put negative 5 on the next vertical axis, and you put 8 on the next horizontal axis, and so forth. And you connect those dots with a smooth curve, you're starting to describe the natural spiral of a mollusk or the natural spiral of a fiddlehead fern. Now, this gets back to Alberti, where he studied nature and proportion, and if you apply the 3 to 5 and 5 to 8 rectangles to his architecture, you will see that his architecture is naturally, geometrically, in this Fibonacci-wise manner, totally perfect. So I would say that since 1472, we don't have a better theory of architectural proportion than the one that was given to us by an example by Leon Battista Alberti in his Santa Maria Novella. Yes, 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 you eggheads out there who have studied Corbusier ad nauseum. Yes, Corbusier was a big proponent of using the golden section, and he had his modular, and he had his regulating lines, and he had his way of showing that his work was geometrically perfect based on his understanding of the Fibonacci series, which he then turned into a scale of proportions. He had the red modular and the blue modular. I've spoken of that previously, but just to recap for those who haven't listened previously, the red modular, as I seem to understand, was based on the proportions of an average French man. We're talking about something in the 1920s, so it was necessarily misogynistic because it was early 20th century. And then the blue modular came along when he came to the United States and he discovered that Americans were taller, and he would really love to have the Americans adopt his system of proportions. And so his system of proportions relates very directly to the diatonic proportions, actually, of 1, or the tonic, 2, 3, 5. And when you get into proportions, you also have this oddball proportion, musically, of the 6th, which, in terms of architecture, is the mantle height. There's a lot here. There's a lot here to understand. There's the sitting height, there's the standing height, but then there's something in between sitting and standing, and that's this odd proportion of where do you lean your elbow, and that's not fifth, it's the sixth. And that's comes directly from musical theory. The diatonic scale's got tonic, or 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. I find that exceptionally cool. Now, Corbeau brought it into the 20th century, but Alberti put it into his architecture, and Corbeau was just rediscovering something that then Leonardo of Pisa, Fibonacci, had written about in the 1200s, which then the Vedic scholars way back in the 1000s and 800s had written about. Oh, one really cool thing about Leonardo of Pisa. He introduced the Hindu/Arabic system of numeration into the West. You know how we write 1, 2, 3, 4 cursively, right? Before that, Western Europe was still dealing with Roman numerals. Interestingly enough, let's see, was it Fibonacci or was it Alberti who wrote the book Liber Abaci? I might have to come back and revisit that. Anyway, it was a book about how to not have to use the abacus to do mathematics, but that you could do mathematics freehand without an abacus. You know, the frame with the beads, and you run them up and down, and you go to the next register and so forth. That worked pretty well if you're just doing base 10 calculations. But we don't use abacuses, most of us in the Western world. I suppose there may even be shopkeepers in China who still use abacuses, and they're fine for addition and subtraction. Not so great for multiplication, certainly not for exponential sort of calculations that we get into if we're doing, shall we say, acoustical engineering. What's up next? Yeah, let's just listen to a little bit more of pentatonic music from the Allman Brothers. Let's talk about the golden ratio. This is Burning Down the House on heritageradionetwork.org. What you're hearing is attributes, musical attributes of the golden ratio of 3 to 5 and 5 to 8. The chords that ring through that music are thirds and fifths and octaves. And so it is inescapable in the human condition to avoid this biophilic phenomenon of geometry, it seems to me. Now, lately, there are all sorts of amorphous blobs with holes slashed through them and such. Those of you who are great aficionados, I'm talking to you in the trenches, my younger brothers and sisters in architecture. Those of you who are into computational morphology, that is to say, making forms through making wacky forms with your computer and then slicing and dicing them and calling them buildings, well, your tools are not biophilically conventional. They're not musical instruments. They're just computational instruments. Vitruvius. Let's get back to Vitruvius. We haven't talked about Vitruvius really since episode one. Vitruvius wrote the book, 10 Books of Architecture. You can go and get this at, those of you who are in New York, you can go to Strand Books up through the architecture department. You can say, I'm looking for Vitruvius's the 10 Books of Architecture. And they'll say, oh, yes, we have the Dover translation. It's $6.50. I know that's a big investment, but you can handle that. Chapter 1, Education of the Architect. Articles 1, 2, 3. First, he says, an architect should have many branches of study, for it is by his judgment, all right, he was writing a long time ago, or her judgment, that all work by the other arts is put to test. And then he says in Article 2, follows, therefore, that if you have only manual skill without scholarship, you'll never reach a position of authority. But if you have only theories and scholarship without acquiring manual skill, practical experience, you will be obviously hunting the shadow, not the substance. And then he goes on, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And 8, music also the architect ought to understand, so that he may have knowledge of mathematical theory. Let's have a little more pentatonic music. If you're a deadhead or a fishhead, you will hear pentatonic riffs always in what this is Dave Grisman and Jerry Garcia. We'll be right back. Burning Down the House. I'm Curtis B. Wayne talking about Pentatonix. Who knew that the Grateful Dead... let's be specific. Jerry Garcia's riffs are totally architectural. That all those riffs you were just hearing, it's all pentatonic. And pentatonic has everything to do with the golden section, the golden rectangle, the proportion of 3 to 5 or 5 to 8. Everything to do with the biophilic growth of life. As set forth by Leonardo of Pisa, also known as Fibonacci. Now, as in life, there is also death. There's also something known in finance.
Ooh, bad.
Wall Street. There's also something known as the Fibonacci regression. Oh, yes. People have studied growth and also contraction. Tell me about contraction. 2006, we're making money hand over fist. 2007, not so much. 2008, where's the bread line? 2009, I can't even afford water. 2010, we're back to zero. 2011, we're back to one. 2012, 1 + 1 = 2. 2013, we might be up to 3. There's a thing called the Fibonacci regression in which people have charted the contraction of markets, and they found that markets contract by these exponential rates of growth, and that's what we went through in the crash of 2007-2008. And it's pretty horrifying. And so as human beings also understand the joy of growth, they also understand the end of times. And a lot of Protestant hymns happen to be pentatonic, and they also happen to deal with the end of days. And so I think it's only fitting to go out with some shape note music, also known as Sacred Heart singing. I'll talk more about that. I did some of this when I was down in Charleston for the Spoleto Festival and met the people at the American College of Building Arts a couple of weeks ago. But let's just go out with Idomea. Thank you, Curtis B. Wayne at heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you for listening. Keep the faith.
Hey! Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.